boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why?
No need for bucks, all he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight, and everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip, but God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way and have the same faith, but you gotta change cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why?
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, we do praise you, because you are worthy, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed that made it possible for us to be washed from our sins. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our guide and our comforter. Father, we ask that you bless each and every heart that is listening today. Bless them and their families. Bless them to be a blessing to their families, particularly in this Thanksgiving Day era, this holiday season, this holy day season. Amen. That we honor and give you thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we're asking that you bless the eyes of our understanding more. Amen. That we will know what is more, what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the great exceeding inheritance that you have put in your people. Bless us, Lord, to continue to be rooted and grounded in love with a full understanding of what that means. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with knowledge of your will and give us the spiritual wisdom and courage to accomplish it so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work. And bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we're asking that you comfort the heart of the bereaved. Amen. Strengthen them with might in their inner man. Bless them as only you can, because you're the only one that can heal the broken heart. We're asking that this service that make my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people, that it be all of you and none of me. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just thank God this is Thanksgiving week, you know, and it's going to be enough Thanksgiving messages, and it's something. It's disturbing. I kind of cringe when I hear. Well, I just know that a person that would call this Turkey Day, this coming up, don't have a revelation of God, and that this prayer is what that is about. Okay, you know. The note, if you remember, for those of you that may be new or just tuning in, I am breaking down an analysis of a prayer because, see, to be effective in prayer, you have to pray the word of God. You can't, you know, God can just bless, but that's not his intention. I mean, he want to bless, but he want us to put some effort. The effort is we need to understand the power that we have, and prayer is designed for that. Because with prayer, you change things. Think about this. Those that you can see this on video, see there's a picture of a world map behind us. I pray daily over other nations as well as our own. And that says something, because I'm actually, see, you must begin to accept the reality that the spiritual realm is more real and greater than the natural. The natural is the recipient of what goes on in the spiritual. It began in the spiritual realm before it manifests in the natural realm. Everything that you see before you began in the spiritual realm, was a thought on somebody's imagination years before you saw it come to pass. And what we have, even this communication system that we have that allows us to communicate worldwide, is only symbolages of symbols of what we really possess. Because in the world when Jesus comes, those of us in Christ won't need these systems to communicate. You can be in Russia and I can call you without a cell phone, and nobody else can hear the conversation. I mean, we are experiencing, I relate everything to Romans 1:20. It said the invisible things of him, talking about God, from the creation of the world, can be clearly seen, being understood by things that we have made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. It is intent, it is God's full intent for us to study his word, to gain understanding of what it is to be the God-man that we were created. And even more so, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said we're new creatures. We're brand new, never existed before. So we're an added component. We're like, I'm in the race car, so we're like a stock car that has become a race car. Our power has grown immensely, but it is so critical that we understand this. See, we're not using it in its fullness right now. During the 1,000 years that Jesus is on this planet, see, that's why I know the world ain't ending. Okay, sin is ending, but the world ain't ending. Now, the 1,000 years that he's on this planet, those of us in Christ will have been changed. If my base scripture for training day is found in 1 John 3:2, and it's the first time I'd have had it. Okay, but anyway, it's something when you get past the place and you stop reading the Bible as a book of cliches and you start trying to see what God is talking about and know what the will of God is. Your eyes, see, this is what that prayer, if you remember when we began, I'm going to read it again, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. See, in 1 John 3:2, it said, dear friends, now, okay, giving you a presence, now we are the children of God, and we will be, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he, talking about Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And that is, and then we go to Philippians 3:20. And you see these references. When you see glorified body throughout the Bible, you got to take step back and don't just listen to me. I'm just a messenger. Go to God yourself, because he may even give you more revelation that you can share with me. He's done that. I'm not, you know, that the things like that, I don't get jealous like that. I believe if somebody knows something I don't know and they shared with me, I'm still blessed. You know, it don't bother me at all, because you know, the one thing I know, it comes from God. He's the only one that knows it all. We know little. And this is critical. He said, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious bodies. You know, presently I'm going through, again, the Gospels and looking at some of the things in detail that Jesus did, and I plan to do a little research. I don't want to get too deep into it, but showing that the things that Jesus did, when you really understand them from a scientific perspective, tells you that he had access to a tremendous amount of power. You know, I was recently listening to I was at church and my pastor was talking about how Jesus came back and walked through the wall. People see that as though he dematerialized, rematerialized, or interact with the brick. There's a speed of understanding of molecular activity that is at such a rate. Now, I don't even think today with our technology that we can count the speed of it. I would have to say the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. See, we do things and really don't look into detail about the things we do because they look common. And we really think walking ain't no big thing. But you're changing molecular activity all the time while you're doing it. You're generating energy all while you're doing that. And again, my emphasis is because of that power, which is, let's just be where you can comprehend. If you got half the power of Almighty God outside of your body, you are an extremely dangerous individual unless you abide by two laws: love for God on a consistency level and love for your neighbor. And Jesus made it plain in Matthew, 22:36. Those are the two laws. Everything in the Bible is hung on those two laws. Okay, so we're talking about prayer. And see, and I'm sharing this because I'm alone. I God sent me to a place that took me past religion. You know, religion is go to church, sing a song, go home, and forget what you went to church about. Do your own thing. And you really don't get it. And at the same time, I was sensing, because I've been a Bible reader since I got delivered, okay? And it's after God became a reality. Now, you know, I want to step back. I said I was going to do that today. Let me tell you something. Before I pray every day. Just about every day. I always pray every day, but my first prayer of the day is the longest one I pray, and it's usually an hour or more. Unless something has taken the day before, has taken so much of my strength, and even then, I'll make an effort because I realize the warfare that goes on in the world has to be conducted by us. The devil don't stop. We stop. He ain't stopping. He's that's like a football game when the other team just stand there. He'll pick the ball up and run. that's where that goes. Okay. So, but the one thing that'll get you into prayer, and I'm not going to get too detailed on that, is, but I have a list. You know those songs when you go to church, the first part of that church that y'all like, some of y'all like to miss all the time, you're actually missing a tremendous blessing. Let me tell you what happened. During that praise hour, God gives out more blessing direct to the spirit of a person than the pastor gives when he preaches the word. Let me say that again. Those first songs that you sing in church, God gives out more blessing then than the word that the pastor preached. Because you are involved. And Ephesians 5:18 tells you there's an exchange. So much so that Paul compares it to what people do to lift themselves up. He said, "Now be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." How? By singing psalms and hymns and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's how you conquer depression. That's how you stand in your victory. That's how you empower yourself through any challenging situation. People can call you. See, don't let people get you out of your power by saying, "Oh, that's just religion." No, listen. Because that'll hold you on till God tells you what to do, which way to go, or just tells you what to expect. See? Now, let's get back to the issue at hand, because I can see this is going to be some. So last week we began, I call it I'm going to give it a name one day, but I picked this up. I'm going to give credit to where credit is due. I used to hear my pastor pray this all the time. But then I noticed what he was doing, because if you read the word, then you know it. He was praying the word, praying Ephesians 18, praying Colossians 3:10. He was praying the word, because you find that the angels respond to the word of God. Amen. So now, And now we going back to Ephesians chapter 1. That's the first part of the prayer. And what happens with us is we tend to read the Bible because of it. See, I get that, you know, King James, it amazed me that the English are known for English, but they're known for proper speaking. And it really dawned on me one day, that any reference to God should be capitalized. I mean, I'm in the process of publishing a book, and I made an earnest effort that every reference, one is the reason, it's the difference between like God, capital G, and little g. And the difference is so that a person will know when it says him that it's talking about God. When they even, you know, identifying who he is talking about. So that we will have a clarity, because that distinction to me needs to be made known. Because one, we should have a focus on who we are in a relationship with. This is why you see some people all the time that are just so geeky about their relationship with God. Because think about it, you know, people, we know part of this is in the prayer. People like to be known. People like to be associated with powerful people. Who's more powerful than God? Who's more powerful? And I'm telling you, see, you got to know God for yourself, and you got to submit to him, and that will bring, that brings that to pass. See, you got to come to him. He don't come to you. He's God. Like I said, God don't pray to nobody. He answers prayer. Okay. Now, this is Paul, and I mean the Ephesians. Now, get this. You got to get see the one other thing. Think about it. These are Gentiles. The Ephesians are Gentile. The Colossians are Gentile. The Corinthians are Gentile. These Thessalonians are Gentiles. These are Gentiles. People that aren't out, that are outside the realm of God. That there's some good information there on Wikipedia about the Ephesians and Ephesus. And what went on, and the different gods that they worship. So there's an identity situation. There's a, just like it is with us, when we come out of sin into this life of Christ, there's a cultural change that has to come about. So this prayer is really a request for God to intervene to change the culture of an unbeliever that does not know God, or a believer that is not clear or doesn't know God or understand God. Because you can't get this without God's help. But that's part of the purpose. Because that relationship is continual between you and God. And don't cut yourself short, or cut this short, and you may have immediate needs now. You can address those. Find the word. These days, you can Google the word. Get a book called Effectual Prayer. It lists all the ways of prayer. But see, I'm the point I want to get to you right now is don't pray without the word, because that there God will keep His word. God will keep His word. Look at let's get to this first. Man, this is good. I get excited over the word. And it's all interconnected, man. It's just one long story. Okay. Starting with verse 17, this is Paul talking. He says in his letter that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding and greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I can continue to read it, but, you know, now, like I said, I extracted, if you listened from the beginning when I opened up with prayer, that's part of where I extracted word, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. This is how you get revelation in the word. You know, and last week I want to read this again, because this was a 1760, 1780 commentary. 1780, okay? Holy Ghost is Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, okay? By Adam Clark. It says, so the understanding of man can discern no sacred thing of or by itself, but seized by the influence of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. For without the influence of God's Holy Spirit, no man ever became wise unto salvation, no more than a man ever discern an object, no matter how perfect soever his eye might have been, without the instrumentality of light. In other words, what he is saying is you can't know God without somebody, without God. Okay? Where my notes at, man? Jesus said, no man come to the Father. Okay? No man. You don't just get up and go to God. This all begins with God. It begins with prayer. Remember, you got to go back. You got to keep in mind the fact that that God put man in charge. You know, people want God to be in charge, but God wants us to learn about the Godship, the manship. Okay. We in charge. God answers prayer. This goes back to the in the Old Testament they had the priesthood, and in this era we the body of Christ are the royal priesthood. We're the only ones that can make intercession. We're the only one that can pray for somebody to get saved. Okay, so this prayer is about that. And it says, Father God, I pray that you bless Richard with the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we want God, that basically, let me just get to the point. You want God to be able to, God is going to do, angels are going to do only what the word declares. And that's the thing that you want to get done, okay? So when you pray that, that's what you're doing. Now today, I'm going to move on. I want you to, what I'm trying to do is get you to see how powerful this is and how essential you are. Because I run into people that really don't realize, and I guess because they can't see what's going on in the spiritual realm. That's why Jesus said, blessed is he that believes it does not see. You know, because you don't see it right off the bat, right away, you know, that doesn't mean it isn't happening. God is a purposeful person. He doesn't do anything without a reason, or without an objective, without a goal. If we have goals and objectives, how much more does an omniscient individual have goals and objectives? Okay, so it is necessary for us to go through this process. One, again, the issue of prayer is that we have, that's us acknowledging God as a higher authority, because he is truly, without question, a higher authority. I mean, come on, really, he's God. He's so high, men that they call intelligent don't believe he exists. Because man can't create God in his mindset. He can't imagine an omniscient, omnipotent God. Look at the characters. You know, you go back and you look at the Roman gods and all that. That's some craziness I couldn't imagine. That's cartoonish to me. I believe if I'd been living back then, I would have been probably like Abraham. I'm like, this ain't even making no sense, man. Like Abraham, the man, the father of faith. He come from a culture to believe in 57 gods. Well, that's the intel that I have. Okay, I've heard a different story. But bottom line, we know he came from an idolatrous society. And then one day he put it out there. And I'm pretty sure that he did the same thing I did. See, this is why I don't get into arguments with people about God's name. I just tell them to go to God. Because if in your heart, God see in your spirit, he can see your inner man. He see your intent. He know your motives. Your motives are right, I guarantee you. See, he would be guilty of prejudice, I guess, if he did it for me and don't do it for you. That's simple. You know, I asked a question about this. I'm like, why? This is how I got into Training Day. Why? Why? He didn't answer right away, but when he did, I knew it was him. I mean, it was sat down, he was like, sit down, counsel time. You going to listen? And when he does that, listen. You know, I was taught, keep a notepad and ink pen by your bedside. So if you wake up in the morning and God be talking to you, because that's really when we are paying complete attention, take the notes down. So that you know, because he might brag on your memory. But so the thing about, I want you to get right here. So we want to go to the part that, this part of the prayer, it said that the riches, according to the riches of your glory. See, Proverbs said, I believe, it says, better is a little with the righteous than great gains with sin. Okay. Bottom line is, now, understand, God has given us all things to enjoy. You know, process to it. The first commandment, and it's sad, but it, for those that don't know, it's in Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 2. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods, and don't make none. You know, I'm a type person, you know, I don't get upset if I upset you when I tell the truth. You know, they knocking over statues. And we never should have made them anyway. I mean, let's be truthful about it. If the Bible say don't make none, don't make none. Because Jesus, God said, you don't know what's in heaven. You ain't been there. You ain't seen nothing. Just believe what God say. So, you know, but that's, see, we what has happened, and particularly in America, is cross culture. We want to be nice with the people, with the Gentiles, with the unbelievers, and that's all good, but we're not supposed to submit to their way to make them comfortable. If they're uncomfortable with what you believe, then let them be uncomfortable. This is why the Bible tells us about it's distinctly about who we fellowship with. That simplifies that. You don't have to have that issue. You know, I'm not concerned. You know what? I learned when I was 8 years old, everybody wasn't going to like me. You know, I was 8 years old when this man, adult, called me a name that I didn't even understand at the time. All I knew is his face was saying he didn't like me. And I realized that all people weren't going to like me. And I thought he was, you know, when you're 8 years old, it's like, that dude's a monster. But, so, you know, and no matter what you do, you're going to always have somebody that don't like you. So you, the one thing you want to do is make sure God likes you. God likes you. What does it say? If God be for you, he's more in the world against you. Who can be against you? You know, that's the only person I'm concerned about. An audience of one. That was a great message when I heard that. See, according to the riches of your glory. You know, I saw a picture recently, and like I said, God don't have nothing against rich people, but right about now, rich people need to be stepping up to the plate. And those that don't, well, there's a story in Luke chapter 16 about that. And see, that's what people want. They want, look at how we have done society. With athletes. I don't have nothing against athletes. You know, I roller skate. You know what I mean? But the exorbitancy, we get people pay homage to them like they're gods. And the first time when I was a young child, you know, my little league baseball team won the championship, so we got to go to a professional game. We got to go on the field, and the first thing I noticed was the bases were further apart. But what caught my attention was these guys was getting paid, and they were striking out. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. I rarely strike out. How come they don't pay me? And I really, at that point, I mean, I must have been 12 years old. Pro sports didn't mean nothing to me. Anything past high school, because I really just thought it was stupid. People, they're paying them, and they can't play no better than high school students, okay? It's a game. It's a game. And look at how out of control it is. We're underpaying people that we need. Teachers, doctors, well, some doctors, okay, policemen. Okay, the Bible has a prerequisite on policemen in Romans chapter 13 on them getting paid. You take them out of the picture, you will have total chaos and anarchy. Okay, they are very significant. Firemen. I was surprised one day when I was talking with a EMT guy, an emergency medical officer, and how little he got paid. And he out there, his saving people's lives, and here we give him millions. That's why, you know what, you think it's an accident that this corona is running all over the world, stopping all this foolishness? Think again. You know what? Things are out of order. The thing that's really out of order is that God's people are so far out of order with it, to the point that if you come down to a baseball game on Sunday and it interfere with them church, I mean, if they won't even stay. They go to church religiously. That's when you know it's religious. You can't even stay for the whole service because the game about to start. That's putting that game ahead of God. See, but the thing about it is, because there's such a lack of the understanding of the power of God and how it operates, that corona is able to run rampant. Individuals that understand this, they greet him head on. They're like, dude, come on up in here. We'll fight. They know how to fight. They know how to confess the word. It is only those that I find a lot of people, I've seen some people die that I think should have been alive, but listen, we don't make the rules. You will find out you don't make the rules. And this is my personal opinion based on what Jesus said in Luke and Matthew. I don't think corona is going to be the only one to show up. One is I'm doing this because I know other pastors are doing it. You know, naturally that's what they do, teaching prayer, you know, and how to pray. I belong to a praying church. You know, I only know a few churches that help. Like, we have prayer every morning online, on the telephone now. They used to have it at the church every morning between 6 and 7 for an hour, okay? Because that's what really affects the world. And that's the point here. When you talk about the riches of your glory, what I want you to understand about that is priorities. Priorities. God's riches, God's glory is greater. Now, because you won't get distinction and honor from man about it, that's why people tend to think it is not that significant. But listen. First Peter 3:10, all this stuff's gonna get burned up. It's gonna get burned up. So what good is First Corinthians chapter 3? It's all gonna get burned up. So if it's going to get burned up, if it don't last forever, why does it have such a priority? See, we're letting idolaters guide us. Okay. That's you go back and you look at the Roman history. Where's the Roman Empire? How come it didn't continue? Because they chose man was God. They had their own system, and it collapsed. It'll never last. That's why you don't see none of those great empires. Any nation that forgets God, I believe that's Psalm 9:17, any nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. Okay? That's just it. Shall be. Not a if, maybe. Okay? Because that the point is, God don't have to do nothing. Satan see God with his arms folded, sitting on his throne. He know he can go in and rush in and to handle his business. So you gotta keep this prayer is about helping somebody. So you don't know the priorities, you don't know God. And even at that, you know, I keep a list of people that I pray, and the list, you know, could be never ending. But we neglect to pray for these athletes. It's not wrong, you know. The athletes are just enjoying the game, particularly the body of Christ, how they have been handling the situation. their priorities. God is not sinner sin. God can't deal with them unless we deal with them. And this is a sad, and I know a historian we've never had a conversation directly. I've been in his presence, but he says 85% of Christians don't pray. They read the Bible. And that to me is giving a lot of credit. And I think it's 98%. I mean, I ask people all the time that are they Christians, So what is going on? Satan only has one group of people to fight with. He is not fighting with nobody else. Nobody else has power to fight him. He knows that. They may think they do, but they don't even do it. You know, all my Muslim brothers, if you happen to listen to this, see, I was talking with them. I learned this by talking to one. Now, this brother, he's an honest, straight-up, loving brother. He was raised up in the family of Islam, come from Iraq, and I understand that because, unless you operating in love, you're not going to get through to them, but this is what I prayed at for him. But when he explained to me what he does 5 times a day, I told him he's worshiping. Now, that ain't a bad thing, but I also told him to ask God some questions. Why you kneeling down there? Ask God who Abraham is. Ask God who Jesus is, and let him answer. Because I love my mother and father to the fullness of life, but they are not the end all. The word is the end all, okay? My mother, like I say, I watched her pray daily, and I didn't understand that because what I saw was a woman kneeling beside a bed. She didn't even use a knee pad. I use a knee pad. Amen. But daily, 3 times, 4 times a day. I saw this, and she used to keep a prayer calendar book. I know that because I stumbled onto it looking for some needles and thread, and at that time I was getting it. I was in trouble. and I knew the prayer. She wrote in there her prayer and God's answer. So this stuff of writing down your prayers and when God answers is not new. We're going back to the 50s. And it goes back. These of them guys are all Rex Humbard, Oral Roberts, and people. Some of y'all heard about them. But anyway. So I've seen through my life. My mother didn't work till my youngest brother was in school. I missed meals if I wasn't at home or my brothers ate my food. But anyway, but we survived, and my father was the only one that worked, So, they can get it done, and that was a standard then, And even now, women, I know somebody that told me they don't want to work. I'm like, learn how to play, and God will bless your husband, so you don't have to. See, there's power, and even with that, what do? You want to go and get Strack's word. That gives you that. So you have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And because of that, God will honor that covenant. I just went through the rules of prayer. The rules of prayer go through. Those rules apply to every promise of God. It doesn't just apply to prayer. It'll pray to confession. It can pray to wanting to buy a house. It can pray to anything you want God involved in with his word. Those rules apply. See, that's a major there. But what I want you to see is that I'm not just making some stuff up to say, but what I pray. So when you pray, you want to pray word. You want to pray word. That's the biggest thing. And then you can count on it because God is. See, this is Christ is the head. We the body. So when we speak, Christ, when God says, let's read this in Isaiah 55, so you get it, because when you're praying the word, see, you really, when you understand how powerful you are. I mean, I pray because I realize I'm powerful. I enjoy it. You know, like I said, when I, let me let you in on something that I don't share this a lot. I've never shared it, actually. I apply my imagination when I'm praying, and I pray in the spirit, and I'm gonna explain that. I don't know when, but I'm gonna get into that. Praying in tongues is a different thing. Praying in tongues to me is the difference between having dynamite and a nuclear bomb. I mean, or having a MP5 fully automatic machine gun. And I believe it's an A140, the electric Gatling gun, you know, like you've seen the Terminator use, the bullets just come flying out like 1,100 per second. That's the difference. You know, you cover more territory, do more damage. But that's the whole point. I mean, and let's just read a little bit of this. I like that part about seek ye in verse 10. Isaiah 55 and 10. Well, I'm going to do 9. Man, I tell you, you hate to leave something out. But it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain and as the snow come down from the heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. See, When we pray, the body of Christ, when we pray, that's God's word going out, and it's going to accomplish that which he said. There are incidents in the Bible, the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and 10, and the angels say, I come for the word. Psalm 103:20, it's the word. They hearken unto his word. So you want to put the word out there so that they'll have something to latch on. They realize the covenant. They realize what their responsibility is. But we have to operate in a coordination with that. Like I said, I still get people that don't understand. But they don't. You can't. If you don't want to accept Christ as Savior, then you don't have the covenant. God has, as much as he may want to, Satan can block it. He can block your efforts. See, I mean, we didn't design this thing. God rescued us. See, it's a lot of parts to that. But the main thing, because right now, if I'm right and Corona's cousins show up, a mutation of, just like with H1N1, a mutation version, the vaccine is going to be fruitless. And the vaccine, you know what I mean? It's too many variations on that. Everybody's DNA is not the same. It is no way to guarantee anything. And even at that, like I said, okay, COVID didn't, the vaccine don't cure cancer, don't cure MS. It's only dealing with Corona. I mean, you still got a lot of issues out there. I've had to deal with issues. See, and the thing that got me the victory was doing what the word says. I thank God I was taught to do the word. This is, the Bible uses a term. Go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay? Let's see. You know, I don't read the... Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10:4 said, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Okay, there's some activity involved. See, so all these... these are parts of what it takes to be successful in prayer, and it's going to become critical. You got 30 million people facing eviction because they don't. You know what? That's only if they don't know how to. That one, you got to be submissive to God. Okay, I've held more than one job at one time. I've cut grass, and I showed it like cutting grass. But I did that till he gave me something else came to pass. Okay, I didn't have a problem. And whenever God send me somewhere, and I have to be somewhere, I still look for an opportunity to serve Him in that. See, rather than it's like Paul. You go back and you study Paul's journey. He was always active about putting the word out, no matter. Where he was when he was making tents with Priscilla and Aquila, he was still putting the word out. He didn't say, "Well, God, you know, why don't you do me like you did Elijah?" He didn't complain about that. See, our life is about learning to be consistently submissive to God. Jesus said, "I only do what my Father tell me." See, I only say what my Father say. Now, we could say, I've heard people say, you know, that's Jesus. No, listen. Yeah, he was, true enough, he was in flesh. True enough, he had the spirit without measure. But he still was possible. Well, what about Paul? What about Peter? Okay, they had issues, but they didn't gravitate toward the issues. They gravitated away from it. They broke the grip of it, the stronghold of it, because that's what the point of this life is, I'm telling you, is because the power that is going to be given to us or the power that's going to be revealed to us to have a glorified body is far beyond what we can imagine, and it is a level of power, I can't overemphasize this, that is beyond your imagination. And it cannot be given, that God would give it to somebody that he can't trust. I mean, it's the bottom line. And again, that's what prayer is about. Prayer requires what? Submission to God. You got to make your flesh and your mouth and your mind agree with him and make his business a priority, particularly this prayer. This is an intercession prayer. Because, like I say, for the eyes of a person to understand and be enlightened, see, that allows that interaction with the Spirit of God with that person. There's no other way for that to occur. See, so that puts us in a very powerful position. The eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. Again, there's that interaction of the Holy Spirit. That puts us, because that can't occur without an intercessor. See, and the riches of his glory, you know, like I say, once you begin to understand that, how significant you are in Christ, everything else become minimal. You know, like I say, I still enjoy things. I like drag racing. I even enjoy professional drag racers. You know, I don't watch them as much as I used to because I like YouTube. But anyway, the point of the matter is I don't esteem nothing above God. Nah. It's going to be work to get there. It don't just happen. You got to work to get there. But your work effort is worth it, and your work effort, ethic toward being more submissive to God says to God, "I love you." Nothing, let me just say, love is an action word. Nothing says more to God how much you love him than you are constantly praying for people to get saved, for the unsaved to get saved, for the saved to stay saved and grow. Nothing impresses him more. And if you do that, he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's showing the light in the Lord. That's in Psalm 37. That's showing the light in the Lord. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say desires for your heart. He gave you the desires of your heart. So you can have all these things. Believe me, I got some desires. But I've learned to put priority. Why? Because I don't want to have it And it be so important, and I've seen this, that when it comes down to, on a Sunday, and I want to get out on my boat that I'm going to get, that I don't want to go to church. I'm going to church first, and I'm going to be there that first when the door open. I want to sing them first praise songs. I want to get that exchange that first happened. See? So, you those, like I say, read these words in Ephesians, and because the inheritance of the saints is the Holy Spirit. You can't buy that. And when you talk to people that don't have it, you want all the billionaires together can't put their money together and buy this. That is the power, because it says what? It is the power that raised Christ from the dead. You got to understand. I know and I hope you're listening to a medical examiner. When you're talking dead, you see an activity. It's amazing how it reverses, how the degradation that occurs when a person leaves the body. And again, when you got Holy Spirit, it's when you then raise up the voters, raise up the amperage. And see, you recognize, listen, I'm going to tell you something, saints. You might well live this life. Because in those of you that have seen the movie Predator, maybe some of y'all go watch Predator, they can see, demons can see, if you go back and you look, I believe in Mark chapter 5, them demons could see Jesus. They could see. They didn't see the flesh. They saw the man on the inside of him. They seen the God man. On the, now, in his case, it was the God man with a capital G. So now, in Acts chapter 19, that them demons could tell. They say, "Paul, we know, okay? Jesus, we know, but who are you?" And these were religious folk, okay? Got their butt too up, got beat up out their clothes. But like I say, you want to, like I say, I hope I've given you a little more to understand. The main thing is, it's so easy. I just as an experiment with prayers, types of prayers, and you get it. So you God, look at what God has done. He's made it that easy. And then you got the book Effectual Prayer. You know, you got the word. You want to pray the word, and you really want to know it. You really want to know it, and you want to again. You got to keep the rules in alignment, because this allows you. Like I said, this is where your power flow is, and you're going to need it in these last days. You're really going to leave it in these last days. So, you know, with that, I just want to switch over and say, listen, and above all, be thankful. Be thankful to God. Listen, if you can hear this, if you can see this, if you can, you know who Jesus is, I tell you, you really want to understand how blessed you are in Christ. Talk to people. Try to get, particularly people that don't know Christ, you know, and listen to them. And know, but pray when you realize they don't know him, pray for them. See, this is the prayer. You don't want to just bless them. You want the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. You want them to have the spirit of wisdom, because it's not possible for them to comprehend God without God's help. You want them to know, particularly the saints, what is the great and exceeding power that he has made. The way I pray it is the great and exceeding power that he has made available, Paul said, to us word. I said to those of us who submit to him and obey him, because them the only ones going to get it. See, you know, it will make your life more comfortable. You don't have to really worry that much about your children when you can command angels. That's another issue that I'm going to get to, I hope. But even at that, you still want to be able to. You want to be able to. It's sad. I was watching a commentary on TV, and these people, and they suffered the loss of a child, and they believe in God. They believe there is a God, you know, but they didn't know how to pray for him. They didn't know what they were dealing with. Listen, let me tell you something. Corona's a demon. There ain't no bingo question about it. As a matter of fact, I heard several ministers saying that he's a principality, because the principalities cover large territories like governments. I mean, look at that's what we're dealing with. But this is again, when if you see me every now and then on Facebook for my Facebook friends, this is what I mean about a training day final exam. If you don't use, if you don't know what to do, you know, I mean, going to heaven ain't a bad deal, you know, but you don't want to go sooner, and you don't want to leave children and family and all that, because there's war down here. And the more of us in the battle, I'm seeing things that are happening. There's so many things happening that the rapture don't come. I know we don't. It don't seem like it, but then, like I said, you know, I don't know. People were kind of dumb back in Noah's day. I mean, I would have been on that boat. I would have been Noah's helper. I mean, a boat like that, I'm like, you know what, I'm just in case. But, you know what, I do know this. Like I said, there's so many things going on right now. You see they're moving into the one world. I've known about the one world currency since I got saved. That was one of the first things they taught me, because they thought the world was going to end in 1985, 1975, every 5 years it was the world going to end. But it's in the Bible. But now all the pieces of the puzzle are in place. That has never happened before. All the pieces of the puzzle pre-rapture are in place. Post-rapture, hey. I mean, this thing's going on. So with that, Saints, maybe you're tuning in for the first time, because I meet people from different places. So if you don't know Jesus, you don't have a covenant with God. If you're not sure you have a covenant with God, just pray this prayer with me too. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe he died for me on Calvary's tree, bearing my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead and is alive right now. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now. Come into my heart right now, and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, and that I am saved. And Father God, I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name. And with that, have a happy Thanksgiving, and above all, give thanks. And be like Paul. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And don't argue with people. Because, see, again, if you read these scriptures, you have to pray for them to get a revelation. You can't give them a revelation. You can give them information. And Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. I mean, he wasn't nice about it. So don't give that which is holy. You got to go back and read that. Don't give that which is holy unto dogs. They don't get it. They don't get it. Amen. But have a blessed, even if you're at home, it doesn't matter. The fact that you can't go out and be with family, call somebody. You got a telephone. You can't get COVID over to them. Call somebody, pray with them. Just let them know you love them. Your love means something. Your love is a gift. Amen. It can't be bought. So with that, I'm going to say God bless. And remember, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Amen. Praise God.
I'm going hard for my God, like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is
excited, cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like DJ Khaled, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you, I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He loved me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth is left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that posed the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose, giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living the sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.